I'd like to call the order, Committee of the Whole Planning and Public Works meeting. Today is Tuesday, June 11th, 2019. Present are committee members, myself, Presiding Officer Tanika Pothier, council members Geraldine Anderson, Council President Angela Burney, Councilmember Hank Margison, and Councilmember Hank Myers. We did have four items on our agenda today, but I have been told that item three is pulled because we will be receiving a staff report on this item next week. So we will start with item one, Fire District 34, Stations 14 and 18, seismic upgrade final design with Joe O'Leary.
Okay, is that better? Pretty nice day out. I had to get that in. So just to start off, this is for the second supplement two. Supplement one was for an actual time extension. It was a zero cost. And then supplement two is for final design. Originally, we started out with a preliminary engineering consultant agreement, which was around $174,000. We've completed that task of doing the preliminary engineering and also the, what's known as the seismic upgrade evaluation report. Now that we've done that, we need to move into final design. And with final design, that will begin at 30% design plans all the way to bid documents. And once we complete the bid documents, we will then advertise for bid once those were approved and reviewed by us. So the amount now that we have for the design cost for Fire District 34 is $660,709.08. That's what's going to be in the memo for final design. And that is a total of $834,953 for adding the preliminary design with the full design. That's scheduled for the July 2nd. Agenda, or excuse me, council.
Thank you.
Yes, for consent. Now, just so it's for, I should clarify for consent, that this fiscal amount is being paid by Fire District 34. So it's more or less the acceptance of the project itself with regard to approving it. The commission of Fire District 34 has already reviewed these documents for design and have also approved it, and they're in the attachments in the council memo.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Myers or Mr. Margison?
Thank you. The last time you were here, we were talking about the same topic. I was curious to know what sort of strength of earthquake, you know, a Richter scale, that we were being protected for, and you said you didn't have the stuff at the time, but I'm wondering if you know now what we're trying to protect against.
Well, it can get complicated with the way they do this, and I'll be honest with you, and thank goodness I have Reed Middleton to help me with that. So my understanding is that the calculations for this type of seismic upgrade is related to the three major faults that we have in the region, and that would be the South Whidbey Island Fault. The other one is with the Cascadia Fault, and the other one is the Seattle Fault. So those three faults they're using a major calculation on what the needs are with regard to seismic upgrade. And we use what is known as ASCE 4113. I hope we don't get too technical, but it's essentially a methodology that in the evaluation report looks at the existing fire stations and looks at deficiencies. Once it's able to see those deficiencies, which we did in this evaluation report, they will use that as far as reinforcing the design of the building, like putting in strength between the roof and the framing, between the foundation and the connections and so on and so forth. So to tell you it's not specifically designed to one earthquake. It's based on calculations of all the fault areas and the likelihood of occurrence.
Well, okay, I can understand all those things in determining what you do to a particular building.
Yes.
Weakness is here, but its strength is over here, so you have a different plan for each building. But I am surprised that we're not even able to say that, in general, what sort of size of earthquake we are trying to protect against. I know when the schools come out and talk about it, they say what we're trying to do.
Well, you know, I have more specific information that I could probably share with you after, you know, maybe tomorrow or the next day that I could pull up and probably help to, because it's very, it can be very complicated. But yes, we do have it, and I'd like to share it with you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Marchison.
So thank you for putting the packet together the way you did, because I was able to go in and look and see that the Fire District 34 did in fact approve the funds, because essentially they're funding it, we're project managing it for them.
And yes.
So they've ponied up the money, and that'll take us into final design. So I want to just say I appreciate that. Also want to say, are we still on pace in terms of the time of the schedule and that sort of thing? Are we still okay with all that?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, right now, we certainly finished on time for preliminary engineering. I don't anticipate any other delays on design. So yeah, we're on course.
So no delays for staffing or anything like that?
Not that I can see it at this time.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, I'm okay putting it on consent.
Okay, great. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so are we okay with it being on consent? All right, excellent. All right. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Item two is our next item, King County Comprehensive Solid Waste Management Plan with Andy Room.
Hi, good afternoon. We are here to let you guys know the June 25th study session. This item will be on your agenda. It's the King County Comprehensive Solid Waste Management Plan. This is a plan that has been being worked on for some time now, and it's kind of in its last stages of going through the process, and it is coming to each city in the service area for a decision on whether or not to approve it or not. So the King County's Solid Waste Director, Pat McLaughlin, he's going to come to the study session. So if you guys had some questions you wanted me to have him prepared to answer, I could take those now. Or you guys can send them, obviously, after this meeting as well.
Mr. Marchison and then Mr. Myers.
Thank you, and thank you for reminding us that we're going to have a study session on the 25th. So one question I would ask is, we've heard some feedback from some of the residents in the area and what they're doing to accommodate that. But my other question, probably more importantly, is when we first saw this package come forward, the costs and the benefits or lack thereof for waste to energy, you know, the greenhouse gas emissions and all that, it looked wildly out of bounds as compared to railing garbage to somewhere, as well as expanding the existing Cedar Hills, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that disparity called into question how accurate and how confident are we with that estimate. And so perhaps Mr. McLaughlin can kind of touch on where he sees the accuracy in that assessment in terms of waste energy, because it seemed awful large. Now, I also realize that creating a waste energy plant is going to take some time, so you have to have interim steps, but I'm hoping to hear from him, or at least what he will share, that they are looking at what's the next step in the process, because we've got a short-term fix, but we need a long-term fix.
So you'd like a kind of return on investment analysis of the three options, or at least the cost benefit analysis?
Yeah, that, but also more importantly, the greenhouse gas impacts, like I say, were wildly out there. And this is off from memory, Andy, so I can't quite remember exactly what it was, but it was pretty far out there, and that's why it almost looked untenable.
Okay.
Mr. Myers?
Is this plan part of the agenda in this work meeting?
I'm not covering the Ms. Wack meetings anymore. I don't believe it is.
They already had it as an agenda item 2 months ago.
I'm also interested in waste to power type of issues. And the interesting thing is, it depends on where you go to get your information, what information you get. And some generally, it's incomplete in one area or another. So I would support Mr. Margeson's point about let's take a comprehensive look at that. You can look at, the interesting thing is that more and more places in the United States that are similar to where we are in size are adopting it. And in Europe, it's almost a standard. So that's why I'm curious about what I hear. And I was particularly disturbed to hear that there would be a big carbon footprint with it. There would be big greenhouse gases, as well as the expense. So that's something we're probably going to want to take a fairly close look at. Thank you.
Ms. Burney.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing this forward. I think because of where this comp plan started to where it ended when it finally left King County and RPC, it would be good to just get a kind of a short timeline of the additions and changes that happened from the initial plan. If Pat can, or Mr. McCullough can keep it not too long, that would be great. And then also in regards to the waste to energy process, I think that what could help is the understanding of the money that King County allocated to do some further study on waste to energy at this point. There's some funding that they set up because there was a lot of feedback that range that was in the original plan was questionable. And there was concern that we weren't getting a good enough understanding of what it would mean. And so the King County allotted some extra funds to look at that a little more in depth. But I think that would be helpful for the progression. Just because I was on RPC, I got to see a lot of the movement on where we started, where we ended. And so I think the only other thing I would love to hear about is what's the plan going forward to evaluate, what's the time frame to figure out what we're doing next? How much time do we have to work on that?
That's all. It's after Cedar Hills.
What's that?
After Cedar Hills, that plan.
Right, yeah, there's time limited on using that space and what that could look like, but we have to make a decision sooner than it's full. Thank you.
If there's no other questions, I have a couple. Is this a 10-year plan, or how far out are we looking?
2040.
Okay, excellent. And what are the concerns that we've heard from the public? Are they primarily environmental? I know we've gotten various emails over the course of several months, so they're not fresh in my mind, but
The only emails that I've seen were in regards to people that live around Cedar Hills. I haven't really seen any comments from our residents in the city of Redmond.
Okay, excellent. And I think, I'm just interested in some of the same points that other council members have brought up about the greenhouse gases and other environmental things that we should be more informed about. Thank you. Any other thing? Okay, I think all that's right. It. So look forward to the study session later in June.
See you on the 25th.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and then our last item is item 4, the LMC Master Plan and Development Agreement with David Lee.
Good afternoon, my name is David Lee. Glad to be in front of you again after all this time. And also excited to kick off this project in front of you. It is a very exciting project, and I think it's going to fit the Marymore District quite well. So the purpose of today's presentation is to give you just a brief overview of the project that will be coming for your review shortly. The project is a Type 5 quasi-judicial consolidated review. It has a master plan, site plan entitlement, and a development agreement all rolled up into one. Since this is a city council review, and the decision maker is the city council, the appearance of fairness doctrine is in effect. So as a reminder, the council communications related to the project with anyone outside of the formal council meeting must be disclosed and described on the record before a decision can be made. So LMC, which stands for Lennar Multifamily Communities, is located on Northeast 70th Street, which is near the Whole Foods and across the street from the future light rail station. It is in the Southeast Redmond neighborhood in the MDD2 zone. And as you know, it's currently going through, the MDD zone is going through a design standards review. The project consists of a 4.9 acre development of land. It's three buildings with 450 units total and 35,000 square feet of commercial space. And that commercial space also includes the daycare portion of that. Key highlights of the project are a commitment to 5% of the bedrooms, 5% of the units, being three-bedroom units, so that roughly equates out to about 23 units. It is also, it does also have 10% low-cost affordable units, and that's a little bit different from our typical affordability requirements, where this is going to be 50% at AMI rather than your typical 80% AMI. So it does, so they are coming in with more for or less cost affordable units. 50% of the site will have a tree canopy. Sustainability features are pretty dramatic on the site. Such features as reflective roof coating, bio stormwater retention, 240 solar panels, and up to 500 bike parking stalls are also included. As I mentioned before, there's a daycare facility. One of the bigger elements of this project is the integrated art into the project, so they are committing to 1% for the arts, and part of that is integrating it into the building prior during the design phase rather than kind of an afterthought and putting art on a finished product. So it is part of the building and also part of the site as well, so it's a very immersive experience out there. Another exciting feature that we don't see that much is 5,000 square feet of community gardens that will be included, and that's divvied up into two community gardens, one to the north half of the site and one to the south half of the site. There is enhanced pedestrian amenities and connections to East Lake Sammamish Trail. Once again, there's 500 parking stalls for bikes, and there's also an accessible bike repair station as well. And last but not least, there is a provision for local commercial space similar to what we did over at Seritage. So that'll equate out to 3,500 square feet. And just to remind you again, what that local commercial space is for businesses that originate from Redmond, Bellevue, Kirkland, Woodinville, has three or less locations, and is not a national franchise such as 7-Eleven, GNC, and Jamba Juice, and the like. July 23rd. So with that, do you have any questions?
Ms. Burney and then Mr. Myers.
Thank you. Do you want to, for me to share some of my questions with you now or later?
Sure, yeah, that'd be great.
Would that be okay?
Yeah.
I know I don't wanna like spend hours talking about this now since we have these other events coming up. One of the questions I have is, since we're going through our design review standard, how will that match with what's going on with this, like timing-wise, just to make sure, this looks great so far, but you know, how will that match what we intend to do with that space, with that neighborhood? You mentioned a little bit about the climate impact of this development. So some real specific numbers on their intent with that would be great. Or you know, are they going for LEED platinum? Are they, you know, what are they doing? Thinking about EV charging stations and how many they're putting in. Because they're, you know, oversubscribed already in our city and we're just getting started with electric cars. And then the other question I have, at least at this point, is they're adding business space. And one thing I've heard some concern from business owners that the newer buildings, due to the constraints with parking and other things like that, the space is challenging to be used for a lot of different purposes. So I guess I'd like some understanding on what that could look like. Are they working with local businesses? Are there architects or understanding of what space can be used for different things? Because we want to make sure that businesses are actually able to, you know, rent that space or be in that space. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Myers.
I'm looking at the diagram and it only looks like it is five floors. And it seems to me a waste of development space to only go to five. Is there any consideration of, well, obviously they've got a plan in, so they're pretty well stuck with this, aren't they?
Correct, but there are portions of the other buildings that are behind that main building that are actually six floors.
Now, I went to the open houses on this. Did you say something about tree canopy in your presentation?
Correct. So in the MDD, it requires a 15% tree canopy on the entire site. So what that kind of means in terms of actual trees is at the end of the day, there will be 154 new trees planted on site.
Okay, so explain to me 50% tree canopy on the entire site. It seems to me that I should be able to look at a diagram and see the tree canopy. And in this package, I see four trees there, you know, and I see a ring of smaller trees here and some in the middle. I'm not sure how I could you explain or have answers ready for us on how they calculate that there will be 50% tree canopy.
Sure. And just to be clear, it's 15%.
15, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. That's very different.
Yes.
We're nine.
And there will be a diagram actually as part of the staff report that actually shows. Yeah. Diagrammatically how that tree canopy is accomplished.
I mean, I'm still looking at the diagram, and even though it's much less, it's something I'm not seeing, so.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Ms. Anderson.
Two hopefully relatively simple questions, possibly one for the study session. Is there a website for the project that we could have a look at?
I'm sorry, what was that question?
Is there a website for the project?
Yes, we do have a city website up, but it's not, there's not a project proponent website up yet, like okay. A private side
okay.
website, is that what you're looking for?
Just from the city of Redmond.
From the city of Redmond, yes, we do have a site up currently.
Okay, would that link either be able to be sent to us or provided in some way?
Certainly, yes.
And then my general, this actually came out of the tow truck conversation we had a couple of weeks ago. That site is located in the former location of yard where they kept a bunch of old cars. And I'm curious if there's any environmental impacts or an EA or something like that regarding the environmental conditions on the site and if that will be incorporated into the development agreement. That might be something for a study session, but. Yeah, so I have some concerns about that. I would love to know a little bit more.
Sure, and just generally, we did do a SEPA a review and analysis and also issued a determination as well
okay.
that included some of that information. So.
Excellent. So is that on the project website?
I can certainly put the checklist up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Margeson and then Mr. Myers.
Well, thank you. So you mentioned, I got to go back over my notes here, that they're going to go down to 50% AMI. Are they utilizing the MFTE exemption, or are they too far away from where that zone is allowing that?
Currently, it is their plan to apply for the MFTE,
okay.
but it has not been formalized.
Good news. The other question I had, you already answered, which was affordable commercial space, or at least local commercial space made available. I guess the question would be how many trees are coming out? And I heard 154 going in, but I didn't quite catch how many were coming out.
Sure. So currently on site, I believe there are six trees, all of which are cottonwoods that have been blown in. And then also there's a couple dying trees around the perimeter that are being pulled out. So unfortunately, no trees will be saved for this project. But in lieu, we are getting quite a few more trees
and
than what's currently
trees.
Out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Myers.
And then just give us a roundup of this is a type five. So what are the next, we're going to have a study session. When would a vote come and what happens as a result of that vote? Does it go out and get built right now?
I mean, the applicants would love to have this built starting like really soon here. So, but in terms of actual timelines, I will be, let's see here. As I mentioned, I'd be giving you a staff report on July 2nd, which would hopefully lead to a study session on July 23rd. After that, if the council's comfortable, we can definitely issue a notice for a hearing. And then after that hearing, you may continue that hearing or close the hearing, make a decision, or close the hearing and wait for the next council meeting for another decision.
But are we approving the project or are we just approving it for to go through further process?
So you would be approving the project. So this wraps in the site plan entitlement, which is generally, so unlike the Seritage project, we had just approved the master plan and DA, and they're coming in for site plan entitlements for each
phase of that project. This project is a little bit different in terms of what you see is what you're going to get in terms of the design. The only further thing they need to do is go through the civil engineering phase of this once this gets approved.
I see.
Ms. Anderson?
So to take on a little bit of the timeline question, the property has been acquired and all of those things are sort of set up for procedure forward. Is that how I understand this?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, so we will look forward to the staff report on July 2nd then.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay, do we have anything else for the good of the order? Then we are adjourned.